Blog Talk Radio.
.302 area code. Do you have a comment or a question?
Okay, I'm now unmuted. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your participation. We're not going to be here all night. We end at 10 o'clock, so I'm jumping right in. Lawyer, you can turn on your video at any time, if you may. All right.
Yes,
so let's go through the call. The title of our show, our blog tonight is, do we appreciate our leaders' sacrifices? The question, you don't have to answer the question. If you have any other questions or comments, we're open for those as long as it's done in a timely fashion, okay? Okay, so we're not going to keep it specifically with the topic, but if you want to do so and chime in on exactly what we're talking about, we welcome the dialogue. 210 area code, Dawada.
Shalom, Elder. I appreciate it.
Bless you, Dawada. The floor is yours.
So, I mean, I would just say that, sticking with the topic, I would say that, I guess it really depends on who your leader was growing up. I know that, I know for me specifically that, like, I was raised in a relatively decent home. But I would say that, you know, out of all the people that I hung around with, I was the only person that had their mother and father still married. And I'm not that old. I'm 33 years old, but I think that statistically, when we look at society in America, and it's 83% of black families that have no fathers in a home, I think that's the problem. I think that's the disconnect with our
community. Okay, so you say that's the problem when it comes to, do we appreciate our leaders? So what you're
saying
is the fact that there's no example of a leader in the home, it skews someone's view in trusting or even understanding how to respect the leader because they haven't seen that dynamic within their own upbringing.
Correct.
Well, under some circumstances. Because what I've seen is a lot of brothers and sisters who are in the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people who didn't grow up with parents, and they are strong leaders. But at some point in their life, they must experience. They have to be an adult that
mm-hmm.
they were able to respect as a mentor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel for this generation. I see what you're saying, Dawada. I'm going to tell you why I'm looking at both sides of this, right? I feel for this generation because we had many mentors. Like, I can look back at my English teacher in high school, right, Mrs. Dunn. I can look back at Mr. Charriere, who was my trumpet teacher when I was doing music in junior high school. I could look at my basketball coach, Mr. Mathis. We had so many strong people, traditional people in leadership roles growing up, where it extended not just from our homes and our churches, but when we went to school. So I feel for this generation. So there was many, many, many areas in which we could find that adult that did what? That demanded the respect a leader should have. Teachers were considered leaders, but go on. But what I'm saying is, what I don't want is to give people an out because they didn't have the same upbringing as us.
And I was going to put my second point because I feel like, I'm going to use the city of Chicago for just an example purposes, right? We can't you know, society can't blame the white man that a whole bunch of our brothers and sisters out there killing each other left and right, right? They can't sit there and say, oh, this is a Trump issue. It's a Biden issue. It's a white man or Democrat Republican issue. It's not, right? So what it really does boil down to, it boils down to a choice. And so, like, for what I chose to do, right, when a brother came to me and talked to me about the truth, I had a choice. I could have said, nah, I'm all good, brother. That's not really where I'm moving right now, or I had an opportunity to follow Christ. So my choice was to follow Christ. And I feel like if more brothers and sisters were more receptive to the positive aspects of life as opposed to the negative aspects of life, that's like me saying, oh, elder, your haircut looks amazing today, right? And then another brother says, oh, man, you're right, it absolutely does. And then a person comes by and says, oh, but you're not wearing a mask. The general consensus is going to be now elder's not wearing a mask. So let's focus on the negative as opposed to saying, nah, the brother got a nice haircut, man. His lips are all point. His lineup's all extra fresh. His hair's all slicked back, looking good. We're going to focus on the negative. And I think that's the problem with society is that everybody's toothed on the narratives as opposed to being free-minded and wanting to think for themselves, seeing life as a glass half full.
You know what, brother? That is a great point. It seems like if we were to poll people in general, our people or any people in general, the majority of the people usually view life as the glass half empty.
God, it's true. It's true.
That, you know what? That's wisdom right there. It does. And sometimes we have to get them to a point where it was like, nah, things are not that bad. It depends on what we choose to focus on. There's many things, there's many blessings in life that we can appreciate if we're willing to focus on the blessings the Most High bestowed upon us. But we've allowed the system to have us see everything from a negative. Great point. Great point. Thank you, my brother. Great point.
The water.
All right. That would always bring some good stuff. Lenora, 302 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. How are you, Lenora? The floor is yours.
I'm blessed. I was calling because, first of all, I want to acknowledge all the leadership in my life, the male leadership in my life from Ahaya, Yeshaya, and all the elders of GOCC. I'm grateful. My husband. And I just wanted to call just to make a comment because I believe my husband and I are ready to become members and be baptized. I think the Most High has got us ready.
Praise the Most High. Wait, it looks as if you're calling from California.
No, I'm calling from Delaware.
Oh, Delaware. So you're right here. I can have Bishop Amop actually call you up to set up.
Okay.
A gathering, so you can come with us, right? You can come and get baptized
with
your family. All right. Let me write your number down. As a matter of fact, I'll text him real time. Do you have anything you would like to say outside of that?
I had a question that's been pressing on me that I've been forgetting to ask you. I wanted to know the scripture that talks about the 10% versus, you know, the one-third. Because I kept forgetting to find out where that scripture is.
Okay, one moment. Let me give that to you. Elder Lawyer, you have that offhand or you want me to pull it up? Where it says it will be left a tenth.
Yes, sir. You start at Isaiah 6 and 10.
It started Isaiah 6 and 10 on down, sister, where it says there will be left a tenth. So what's happening is that you have a lot of brothers out there, UPK and others, teaching that there'll be two-thirds cut off, like it's written of in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, let me get that real quick. I think it's Zechariah 13, where it says the two-thirds. And really, they're not absolutely wrong. Where they're going wrong at, where it says two-thirds shall be cut off and die, it's just the timing of things is where they're getting it incorrect, right? Because there will be left, let me get it real quick. Let me get it real quick. One moment here. It's just the chronology of it is what they're getting wrong. Not wrong, but they just need to understand the chronological order of the 10 and the 2/3, okay? One moment. Let me get it. Let me get it here. Da-da-da. This is weird.
It's 13:8.
Yeah, two parts. Zechariah 13 and 8, it says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And that's another reason why they look to destroy leaders, because then people have no one who can protect and guide them. It says right here, "And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones, and it shall come to pass that in the day, in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and died." Zechariah 13 and 8. "But the third shall be left therein." So you have to realize that the tenth, it's speaking of our people within the earth in of itself, right?
Okay.
90% due to disobedience in the war will be cut off when it comes to the children of Israel. Only a tenth. Don't forget, it was a tenth that was paid to Melchizedek, Shem, by Abraham. It was a tenth.
Yes.
Because of that, the Most High instilled within his law that the priest should receive a tenth. So when it comes down to it, throughout all of the earth, only a tenth, it's going to defile the Most High at the very end and will be preserved for the wilderness. Now, when Christ returned, there will be a purging. Because there was what? Mutiny in the wilderness. Okay? So the other Israelites are correct when they say two-thirds shall be cut off, but that's talking about in the wilderness when Ezekiel 20th chapter talks about the rebellion in the wilderness. So even though a tenth will be preserved, one-third will make it out of that trying in the wilderness. See? So the
ten. And I have one other question too. Oh,
yeah. So,
oh, sorry.
So in a nutshell, let me quantify it. The tenth is talking about the Israelites throughout the earth that will be preserved through the war and all those things that's coming. Like that number is coming down, right? That number is actually happening right now with the solutions they're telling people to get and all that. It's bringing those numbers down where that 90% is being taken. Eventually, there will be a tenth that will be left for the wilderness. And then the purging in the wilderness where the rebels happen, two-thirds of our people will be destroyed, and Christ will have one-third go in to Israel, the promised land. Got it? Okay, what is the next question?
The next question is, when Christ comes back and he begins to teach during the millennial, and I hope I'm saying this right,
you mean during the thousand-year reign, in a nutshell?
Yes.
It begins,
yes.
Yeah.
Now, what about the dead that are already dead? When they talk about the dead in Christ shall rise, do they have an opportunity to learn, or do they have a chance to repent?
Well, listen, there's two things there.
Okay.
The first thing is the first resurrection. The first resurrection is when Christ returns. It says, "Blessed are they in Revelation 20 that make it in the first resurrection, where the second death have no power." So we want to be those that are in the earth, and those that are being brought up from the bosom of Abraham is the first resurrection. The final judgment is at the end of the thousand years. These are they who were in the ground, in Hades, waiting judgment for the final judgment. That's the second death. These are they who will be judged out of the records and thrown into the fire with the fallen ones who led mankind astray. So we must make it in the first resurrection. The second death are all those who will be destroyed at the very end of Christ's reign. Okay?
Okay.
You got it?
Thank you. My husband said hi.
Tell him, said hello. What is his name?
Sam.
Hope to meet you soon, Sam. You're not too far away, so I hope to meet you all in the Philly congregation, okay?
Yes, likewise.
Okay.
Thank
bless
you, Elder.
You're welcome. They place you on hold. We have Stan who have a comment. 281 area code. Hey, Stan. Shalawam, the floor is yours.
I just wanted to comment because this topic is so deep. You have to apologize. It's raining while I'm at it, but that's just struggling. It's amazing because I was just talking to my elder not too long ago when it comes to how much I honor him, because I lived my life always in this state of mind of honor and, you know, upholding myself to a certain code. And a lot of people never could understand why I viewed myself this way, especially being in like a martial art background. But when you look throughout history and look at warriors like knights and samurais and even different assassins and stuff like that, when they had their leaders that they were under, called them lords, they honored them to such an extent to where it was their motivating. It's kind of hard to quantify into words, but you honor them to such a point to where I see why the Bible says they are like fathers those of us in the flock. And it's very sad to see how much our people just don't honor the sacrifice that comes with being in that position, to give up everything to lead the Most High's flock. That should humble you just at that aspect alone when you look at this person or these individuals on what they have to do in life to do what the Most High called them. I told my elder the other day, I feel what it feels when the knights and the samurai used to submit themselves wholly unto the Lord that they were serving under. To see what they had to do to please the Most High by doing His work. I just want to serve. It literally provokes me to serve and want to do, and encourages me to just make that burden on them lighter.
Thank you. Brother, it's one thing that you pointed out, and I had to write it down, because this is how I get topics and topics to build on. Those men you were talking about that once had honor, it was one thing that they understood, and I think you're quantifying it, that shame was equal to death. That's how high honor was, and getting in good graces and staying there with those who've actually sold in them.
If they
dishonored that, it was a shame that was equal to death, and that's what's missing amongst our community. We don't know the concept of honor, and we don't feel what we need to feel when we are in shame. But great point. But go on.
It goes so deep, and I'm going to be very quick with it, as quick as I possibly can. It goes so deep because that shame, me personally, when I slip up, whenever I've slipped up, that shame is what keeps me from falling back into that.
Yeah.
That shame of having to come back to the Shabbat and see these great men of stature that I honor and respect and would lay down my life for, that shame produces such a spirit in me. You really feel like death is better than this. It's better to just be out of this world. Let the Most High call me out of this than to look at these great men who have sacrificed, traveled across the world, have to die daily just to do the Most High's work, to show us what it's like, especially young men like me, what it's like to live in Christ. It's just that shame. You hit the nail on the head so much with that, because I have a very, very heavy conscious. So when I mess up, it's like a depression
that comes over you. That's shame. You don't want to be.
Brother, I can relate. It's like when you, and we understood this as a people in the Old Testament, where we would rip our clothes in shame and sackcloth. That's what that was talking about. Where we understood that when we dishonored the Most High and those in position, we understood that when we did that, those actions were in the presence of God. Mm. For some reason, our people have relegated their conscience to a degree where they believe the Most High is absent. He's still in the room. It's just that the people have checked out. But, man, great call, brother. You quantify this, and I think this particular call will help people understand the gift that comes with honor.
If I may.
I'm
going to
say,
I'm
going to let you get the last word. Some people to a degree, and some people to a degree think that something is going on when I have elder lawyer there and I'm speaking, that something is happening where he's under some trance where he can't say anything. No. What elder lawyer always understood
is
respect and honor. And what he feels is if it's being said by the elder, why should I chime in? Right? And it's to the degree where I have to look at him and say, Elder, you want to bring something? But if what's being said is needed, why do we feel a need to say anything? That's wisdom in of itself, right? But it still comes with the respect and honor that he'll always have, understanding that first interaction and what was sold into him, that someone took a personal care for him and said, you know what? And this is what I was thinking too. All this stuff the Most High instilled in me to understand. I can't be the only one around here with this information. I'm going to have to download this into somebody. Right? You always have to have somebody where if they are respectful enough to appreciate what you're going to do for them. When you find that person, you have to know that, listen, anything can happen, but I got to make sure that all this stuff that Most High has given me, that it don't stop with me. Because suppose something happens. So one thing I wanted to make sure is that, exactly. But he appreciated that. But go on.
Man, I just want to thank you once again for this topic. Every time you bring out a topic and it compels me to call in, I just feel so, I just praise the Most High. But I wanted to leave it with this note. I encourage people to go and look up the era of Nobunaga and the Edo period and look up the times of medieval times and how these warriors served fully because how much they honored the work that was going forward, the mission that was at hand. They understood that the mission was so imperative that this person chose to lead this movement is truly ordained by something higher than himself. And it compelled them to honor themselves to this mission, even unto death. The samurais, knights, ninjas, all of these other, you watch the movies and all that, but look up the history and how much honor it takes to fully submit and humble yourself. I rest on that.
Hey, brother, and I'm going to, of course, you can rest on that. There's many things you can say because, I love your humility. But all in all, it's like this, brother. And I grew up in the arts and dealing with it and understand that this is why when we grew up, there was something about those old karate flicks.
Oh, yeah.
let me tell you something. I used to wonder, but guess what? I grew up respecting the honor that came in with all those old Shaolin flicks and all that. What those young people who were trying to learn from the teacher were willing to sacrifice to show their honor just to learn one move.
Mm.
And I remember, listen, When I'm going to tell you, sometimes, you know, one day we're going to sit around and eat and drink. Sometimes it's like us being around a barbecue and just talking. Listen to me, my brother. I remember first coming into the truth, and there was a guy by the name of Haradapia, right? Now, he was a guy that managed me when I was 14, and I was in a group, and he was a young guy working in New York with the record companies. He was managing me. I find him about 7 years later. He got fringes on and all this other stuff on, right? Living back in Philadelphia. His name was Ed Ndafo. I end up coming into a room where these guys are teaching. Yohana came down, but it was Haradapia who I was familiar with because he used to manage me. So he had a place. Listen to it. Going back to the old karate flicks, right? He had a place, my brother, right off of Benango Avenue where we had to go and learn during the week because there was classes only a few days a week on Cheltenham. Now, check out what my duty was, not knowing what I know now. My duty was to go to the store, get Chinese food, if they wanted some other food, as long as it was kosher, I would bring it to them, get sodas and all these things. And then you're in a relationship, and the person you're with, your wife, whatever, you're looking at you like, why are you doing that for all these men, right? Right? Because other people are looking at outside like it's some level of weakness, right? Thank you. Here's the point I wanted to make, brother. One day I got frustrated because, of course, people around you saying, you're doing all this stuff for these guys. Who are these guys? And I get frustrated. I'm a young man, right? And then Doc called me up the stairs and said, recall. I'm like, yes, sir. I mean, after it had made junk all over the place, recall, I need you to sweep up. I need you to start upstairs and work your way downstairs. Now, I'm feeling like my manhood is being challenged, right?
Right.
But then I'm like, man, listen, because every time I come there, brother, I'm looking to learn another scripture or precept. And you know what Doc told? This is what Doc told me. He said the discipline of listening to what we're telling you and the care you take in going to the store and sweeping up and doing what we need to do will be the same mindset that you'll need to learn the book.
Amazing.
And when he said, when he said that, it took me back to the karate flick. What he was telling me, brother, you already learning. But if you go to the store and get something wrong, you're not going to pay attention when I say this precept goes after that precept. So you're already being tested. So go sweep the floor.
That's deep. That's deep.
Thank you, my brother.
Khan, Shalawam. On note of that, two movies that come to mind is the 36 Chambers of Shaolin and Shaolin versus Wu-Tang. Go look that up and see the discipline and humility that our elder is talking about right now in those Kung Fu flicks.
You know what? I'm going to pull that up tonight. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, my brother. All right.
Shalawam.
All right. We have Lisa who has a comment and question. We're going to stay on for another 30 minutes, okay?
Shalawam, Elder. How are you?
I'm doing well. Bless you. How are you?
I am doing well as well, sir. Thank you so much for this timely broadcast. I was just having a conversation with a sister just last night on this topic. And I wanted to say, Elder, if no one has ever told you, I appreciate you and the elders
Thank
of the
you.
Body of GOCC. because all praises to the Most High, He allowed you and through His Spirit used you to wake me and my family up. I was on my way speaking in tongues straight to hell in the church. And had it not been for this truth, I don't even want to know where I would be today. So I really, really appreciate the elders of the body and the leadership. And I thank God for Ahaya, for my foundation of the church, because it gave me the respect for leadership. That's the one thing I did get out of the church, is that respect for leadership. That foundation gave me that respect that a lot of people seem to have lost today, the respect, the accountability, the love, the trust with our own people. It's gone. Unfortunately, it's gone. Mm. And in this, my husband and I, as you know, in our business, we've been in business now almost 15 years doing this thing. We've been able to hire 105 persons from the body, but in all places in the Most High. But in that first week, we went through something where we were not sure we were going to continue doing it with the body, because we went through a situation where someone tried to destroy our company, and it's our own. So
was your own? What? Give me some insight.
I don't want to go into too much detail.
It was our own people trying to get in the way of us employing others. Man,
someone that we brought on to work for us tried to destroy us by doing something behind our back, thinking it would bring our company down. That's all I want to say about it, because I don't want to put any life to it. And we've never had that, because we have people that are Esau working for us as well, and it only happened when we started opening up to our people So, but we kept pushing through, and this was a conversation I had yesterday, my husband and I. We just said we'll just continue to do it. So that gave me the appreciation for the elders and leadership. I'm not putting you on a plateau of Martin Luther King, but in leadership, what you guys go through and the blood, sweat, and tears you sacrificed for this truth, and your sacrifice for even your families that you might not even have time to spend for your families and with your families for this truth for us on a consistent basis, I really, really appreciate that. I always appreciated it, but now that we're in this situation of bringing people on, I never appreciated it more. Let me say it like that, because I understand what you guys go through on a daily basis.
Well, sister, I would like to say this, though, right? This is why when businesses are set up, you have HR and you have an ethic. You have an ethics agreement that usually employers sign into, right? Because usually people don't understand the ethical part of business relationships, right? And so what I find is, you know, not giving our people excuses, but they're not held to the same contracts when they're brought on under us, where we must put their ethics or their lack thereof on paperwork to make sure that they won't do certain things. Why? Because they'll get offended. But we have to make sure that we look into the ethical part of it and make that part of any agreement, so that they'll know up front what we will not be tolerating. You're not going to come in and destroy something that you didn't build. I'm here to help you, but here's the paperwork when it comes to ethics. Every company has it. It's to the point where, but if we talk about it, what you trying to accuse me? What you think? No. Because people come into other companies and they'll get ideas they didn't have before and set up their own business. So this is what people do. It doesn't matter what your color is out there, whether or not you're black, white, Chinese. If you give someone an opening where they're not liable to do something wrong, they're going to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is, if you're going to run a company, you have to deal with the ethical part of it and to make sure that you are protected and those that are coming in automatically understand where the boundaries are. Because under a capitalistic society, when people see a window where they're not liable and can't get sued, they're going to capitalize. So I'm just putting that out there for you. And you got to protect yourself. It's just business. It has nothing to do with whether or not it's our people. It's business. And our people sometimes find the loophole. Okay? So I'm just saying that. But I really appreciate you.
And final question, just a quick question.
Yeah.
In reference to segregation, do you think segregation was a good thing?
Segregation
was a good thing?
I believe that if they would have agreed with Martin Luther King's second leg of the plan, that segregation would have been fine, because why? We would have had the finances to protect ourselves from whatever trickery they may have come up with. So it wasn't a one-part thing with segregation. They made that as the goal, when really there was another plan after that to make sure our people would be what? Restored through reparations. The financial leg would have protected where we could have benefited from segregation, because the white people would have had to come into our stores. There would be no room for regentrification of our neighborhoods because we would have owned the neighborhoods. See?
Yes, sir.
So it would have worked if they would have allowed the second part of the plan to come into fruition. You just can't have an overarching plan from the beginning, because economics is not the place where they would have allowed us initially. So what he was saying was the political portion. Let us get ourselves in political positions to protect ourselves, then come in with the financial piece to protect ourselves. Now we have the politicians we can pay in position. On top of that, we can own our neighborhoods instead of public housing, and we have enough money to pay for our defense like Chinese people do in Chinatown. So really what you have is diplomatic immunity with the country, just like a foreigner would have when it comes to certain areas belonging to China, even though it's America, it's diplomatic immunity, where that's really an extension of your homeland. Martin Luther King foreseen all that. It's just that if they weren't going to do the financial piece, there would be no need. There shouldn't have been no segregation. We should have stayed segregated if they weren't going to give us the finances to protect our people from the white people on the other side of the tracks who were dealing with all type of liberal craziness. It wasn't just the righteous right-wing whites that we had to fear. It was the crazy white liberals on drugs and the meth heads of the and the Woodstock white crazy liberal people were the ones that would be a threat to our morality. So we weren't integrating with the white races. We were integrating with the crazies amongst their people. All right?
Right.
So,
well, Elder, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Like I said, also check out, have you ever seen the movie on Netflix, Wild Wild Country? Did you see that one?
What is it called?
Wild Wild Country. It's about a cult, but what I took from it is it's a series. They actually created their own city with their own water supply, their own banks. They had ATM cards, debit cards, food, everything. They didn't need the outside world, but they, you know, they were a cult. They were crazy. But I was just saying that to say it was amazing back then how those people were allowed to do that. But, you know, they were destroyed afterwards because the rest of the civilization
came
against them.
Anyone that set up a self-sufficient community outside of a controlling structure is considered cult.
Yeah, yeah.
Because only the controlling society from Rome, from Europe, can set up towns within America and not be called cult. They're called settlers. But all in all, it's a pipe dream, and it's a series to only put negative connotation on those who are looking to be self-sufficient. We're not going to be self-sufficient, sisters and brothers, until the wilderness. And at that point, we'll be protected for a time. But then after that, when the war break out in the Middle East, man, the fallout is going to be so grave on them, and people are going to be shot up with all types of stuff and all that stuff, where they're going to be out of their minds. By the time they get the boosters near the war, these people are not even going to be people no more. They may be walking zombies trying to get rid of us. But I'm going to be talking about that in the judgment of the Gentiles, the judgment of the nations in the academy, how they're going to zombify the whole world that's going to come against us in the wilderness. So, you know, that's when we're going to be, we're going to have our own, all right?
Well, sir, thank you again, and I'll just say to our people, let's just get ourselves together, because it doesn't matter where we are. If we're not right, we're going to take the same foolishness to the wilderness and be cut off. So use
right.
this time
right.
to work on ourselves, get ourselves together, start loving each other again, supporting each other again, trusting, accountability. That's the one thing I do miss from our people. We really need
okay.
to get it together.
Well, you know what?
But I
Sister,
appreciate
I'm
you,
tell you
sir.
I'm going to place you on hold. But Lisa, I'm going to tell you, thank you for this, place you on hold. There's still hope in our people. There's still love in our people. And until the very end, it isn't over. It isn't over. There's a chance for a large number of people to really, you know, look deep into themselves and become who the Most High meant them to be. And I have hope that our people can turn around, that can change. Oh, yeah, on another note, I'm going to go into this on the Patreon, the fact that China, they're going to claim everything is China right now, and even though it's the Satanists from Rome and all that, and that are really setting up laboratories in China, okay? So when they tell you China is doing this and China is doing that, that's a misdirection. It isn't China at all. It's the same controlling body using China as a proxy. So when they say China is doing this outlandish thing, China, nah, China is the cover, folks. Anyway, China, well, the Satanists who's using China as a proxy are looking to hatch a dinosaur embryo. They even had pictures of it and all that where, yeah, that's right, as in the days of Noah. They're not prehistoric animals at all. These are the animals the Most High killed in the flood. They are about to let dinosaurs loose on land. I'll be going into that and more this coming Friday. Great call, Sister Lisa. That's a good segue. I only got about 15 minutes, so let's just go through. We have Zamar, then after that, Danita. Zamar. I already brought in Stan, so I got him. Zamar.
Hey, Shalom. I have a question pertaining to the academy.
Yes, sir.
For an example, so if I were to have notes on who is Edom and someone were to ask me about Esau and then I have my notes to, like, explain to them, okay, well, this is Edom, and I have, like, all okay, the notes, but would that be considered stealing because those are the notes that you gave us, or would that be correct to share that
brother.
To them?
No, when we say that you're supposed to keep the material for yourself, it's talking about the material in of itself as far as not circulating it or publishing the information, as long as you're not sending it to no one else. But what you learn from the academy, you could open it up and teach someone from it.
Okay, Con. And my second question
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. I mean, no, we're not censoring what you can teach out of it. I mean, if you learn it and people ask you, give it to them. Give them the information. Give them the historical data. Give them the understanding to be able to teach them in the Bible the truth. And then if it helped you, suggest that they come into the academy to get the information, you know. So, all right?
Con, secondly, also from the Who is Edom on the PDF, they were talking about the giants, and I wanted to ask you how tall were the Anakims, like the giants, how tall were they? In the book
of
Deuteronomy?
Well, the Bible tell you that sometimes when it comes to how we were describing things, it could be a little exaggerated. Like when we came into the city and it's like, man, we were like grasshoppers. But really, when you look at it, the tallest were about, they were up there. They're about between 17 to 20 feet.
Wow.
But when we looked at how tall they were, we was like, yo, we're grasshoppers compared to them. So, yeah. It was about between 18 to 20 feet for some of the bigger ones.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a matter of fact,
I don't know if you're going to be in the next academy, but we're going to actually show the archaeology that was covered up, not just here in America, but that they showed some of the giants who were covered in mud from the flood. And they started resurfacing some of these skeletons. Now, some of what they resurfaced before the flood, brother, we're talking about what? We're talking about 40 feet before the flood, 50 feet. where when they open up the ground, the person next to the Nephilim head was small in comparison to just the skull. You can see it from a bird's eye view where this guy was just small next to the head and the body took up like a mass part of the land. So these pre-flood Nephilim, man, they were like 40, 50 feet. And there's archaeological proof on this that the world powers are hiding. Okay, why? Because if they don't hide it, then we'll have to go into the validity of the Bible when it talks about the Nephilim and why the Most High had to destroy this earth through a flood. It was no 100 billion years ago for dinosaurs. Dinosaurs were actually cross-spliced and made. It tells us this in the book of Jasher as well as the book of Enoch. And the Bible goes into it. All right? So we're going to be talking about that week three of the Hebrew and Bible Academy, tracing the serpent seed. So, all right, and we're gonna give you the historical proof of everything I'm saying here. Okay.
Wonderful.
Ayanda Bar, and thank you, brother, for being a part of this. All right. Okay. All right. Let me place you on hold. All right. We have. I'm muting myself. Hold on. I'm back. Danita. Okay, we have 10 minutes before this broadcast concludes. Great show. No overkill. I expect you all in the Hebrew and Bible Academy February the 6th. And our new calendar is ready. So the calendar for the year that gives you the correct holy days, you can go to gatheringofchrist.org and put in your pre-orders. You need that calendar, and I'm going to actually be able to next week, next Wednesday, I'll be able to show you folks the cover in the inside of the new calendar. So it's going to be outstanding. All right. Danita, the floor is yours.
Shalom, elders. I just wanted to, I had a comment, and I just wanted to answer the questions for tonight.
Okay.
Do we appreciate the leader?
Yeah.
And I feel like I think Israel is split on that, meaning you got a lot of people that do appreciate what's been, you know, taught to us and what's been brought forth. Like you said, a lot of us had teachers growing up. We had gym teachers. We had music teachers, stuff that we remember people teaching us how to be respectful, appreciative, humble, like we were taught as children grown into adults how to respect one another. But I feel like along the way, some of us lost that and we just forgot how to, or some of us just had that, you know, they feel like they're entitled. So we got some people that's entitled, or they just feel the need to be appreciated and they want to be first instead of respecting those who went forth ahead of them. And I just, you know, in my generation, I'm an 87's baby, so I respect those who brought things forth before me. And, you know, as the brother was talking about earlier about what it meant to honor those ahead of you, you submitted yourself and you was willing to serve that leader or that teacher in a way that you did not want to disappoint them. So it's just that we forgot how to humble ourselves and submit and just serve. and just to take that burden off of our leader, so that they wouldn't have so much to worry about or so much to think about. We just wanted to be that humble student. So just that, like, our people just forgot that, and we just ready to cancel and cut off, and, you know, we just ready to, you know, just move that person out of the way. I'm first. And we just forgot that this person that's doing all the work, like you said, it's not so much the one that's talking in the background. It's the one who is putting in the work.
Yeah.
So we just forgot to respect that and just humble ourselves. So I just yield with that.
Well, thank you. And it's one thing you brought out. Okay. Move the people who are working out of the way and replace them with what?
Right.
See, and that's the issue. that's the issue, right? And
right.
One thing I've learned, and it was a song by Donny Hathaway that quantifies what I'm about to say, where he had a song called Change, Nothing Stays the Same. And what I've learned, and I can understand that, our people are used to getting and used to doing, we're creatures of habit, and we don't like much change. And one thing I realize, and, you know, I can't apologize for, is that what? Nothing stays the same, and I cannot become the idea of what people see in me. Some people make an idea of who I am, and what they do is they just want to hold on to that, when I'm only being guided by the Holy Spirit to do what the Most High is directing me to do. And when I leave that archetype or the idea of what you had of me, even though I'm not going against the Most High, automatically, because we're creatures of habit, we'll say something must be changing. Something must be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. I can't control how one perceives me. Nothing stays the same. And I'm going to go as the Most High guide me to get to his people. Not meaning to offend anyone, but as I get older, I'm going to change. I'm not going to be the video you seen 15, 20 years ago, even though I'm still that guy.
Gone, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, when it's a time, there's a time for all things under heaven. I have enough wisdom and understanding to know when it's time for the next phase, to get to as many people as possible. And the way I did it 10, 15 years ago, even though I love the greatness looking back, even on the streets, I think there was greater teachings before there was YouTube that people have never seen. But all in all, people have a perception, not realizing that, listen, a leader can only be, it's the spirit of a leader who's guided by something greater than themselves and the people who are actually viewing them.
Calm,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so that's the whole thing. And that's the, I would say, difficult part of trying to lead or help our people, is because you cannot satisfy everyone's view of you. You want everyone to be happy. You want everyone to know that, listen, I'm a good guy. I'm on your side.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just impossible. You understand? It's beyond our control. All right. Thank you, my sister. Great, great call.
And I just want to say, elders, that, you know, for all the deacons, the elders, and my husband, my family, we appreciate y'all. And y'all just changed our life for the best. And like you said, that, you know, some people have that jealousy and they look at y'all like, you know, you put yourself on a pedestal. But some people just appreciate the work you've done. And, thank you, brothers.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you. And we have some great calls. I'm sorry, I only have about 3 more minutes. I'll take as many calls. I don't want to go over because, you know, I really want this broadcast in itself to resonate without overkill. So unfortunately, I know we have a few other people. I'll open up the calls this Friday for Patreon. I'll take a few calls on a gathering first, then segue to Patreon for those who didn't have an opportunity to have their say, okay? So I will open it up before going to Patreon. So even if you're not Patreon members, the first 15, 20 minutes of our update, I'm going to open up this line so that we can continue from here and then go into our – man, I have some stuff on Patreon, folks, with some doctors. You have to hear what's going on in some of these hospitals. But I can't say it right now. Be there for Patreon this coming Friday. Sam, he's our last call for this evening. Sorry I didn't get a chance to get to you, Sunshine, but I'm sure to keep your copious notes. And when you come in this coming Friday, I'll bring you in first. I apologize, okay? I've seen you waiting there. All right, Sam, you're the last call for this evening.
Ah, blessings, 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 Elder, and I'm grateful, grateful, grateful to you all, you, Brother Elder, Brother Garrar, and the rest of people who walk in all aspects, because this truth is not just a one-man thing. This is a collective thing. So on that note, I am grateful and thankful. But speaking on our people not appreciating the leaders, I think, you know, because Elder, I dabbled in writing a little quote.
See, but when I said that, I need us to really put it into a right frame of reference. If we appreciated what Martin Luther King did and what Malcolm did, it would show in our society.
Correct, correct.
And it would show. It's like, did these men put their lives on the line for the debauchery, the drug dealing, the disrespect of family, the immorality that's being exhibited right now? Did Christ... the greater man, Christ, did he die for people to become worse? So that's really why I was putting it out there, appreciating leaders. I didn't want to segue it to people just saying, thank you, Elder, thank y'all for whatever. No, it's about, listen, the best way of showing your appreciation for those who are willing to sacrifice their lives for you is you as an individual sacrificing something for the betterment of our people. That's the best way to appreciate it, not just in word, but fixing our people. And now all of us have an individual hand in that. But go on.
Correct. And that's really what I was going to allude to. And thank you for bringing that point, because I think it puts it in a better perspective for us all who are in this struggle to try to live a life, you know, that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. So in that retrospect, to look at it, I think for us as a people, in that retrospect, is when we look at things, especially for the people who we call our leaders, because I think, you know, for me today, what I come to understand and know is it's not more so about what you can and cannot do. It's about the willingness for you to see a problem and say, I want to do something about it, you know, in that retrospect. And for me, you know, in my understanding of coming to the thing of the part of being chosen and be called, because I see it as when you are chosen for a certain thing, there's nothing you could do to escape it. You know, we could ask Jonah about it. You could see how that happened, or even so, Simon, who was in a synagogue, who had to wait all that time just to see the our Lord and Savior before he leaves the earth, and a couple other people in the Bible as well. So when we see these people who rise to a certain level and do what they are doing, we as the other people who are looking up to them, in that retrospect, we see it as, oh, that's their job. You know, that's what they're supposed to do. You know, that's who they are. This is what they never take into account, that the sacrifice you had to make to do that. For example, how I see it, I make the analogy of Dr. Martin Luther King is, okay, you see, you coming down the road and you see it as an obstacle. There's a bunch of people behind you. And you're like, oh, man, how are these people going to get past this obstacle? Maybe I could get behind it and hold it up so these people could get by. And then he does that. But then all these people who come by seeing him struggling, holding it up, they're just watching him. He's sweating. Oh, bro, thank you, man. We appreciate you. And just keep walking by. Somebody say, oh, you all right? You scared? You need help? All this type of situation. But nobody would sit there and be like, okay, I'll be the her for now and help him hold it up. Everybody just wondering about getting by. And even some of the leaders we see today, most of them want to hold it up but still want to make it to the other side. They're not
okay. Okay, so how do we quantify that into real-time solution is what you is the dynamic I want to leave the broadcast with instead of the analogy.
And for me, and that's what I'm giving thanks to you guys, because I come to this truth not on part of Yah, but just to know that we have people who are doing the work, you know, because sometimes you get to a place, where you just feel like there's nobody understanding. But then you come across, because I just ran across Yah by the God's grace about 6 months ago, you know, and I've been watching the videos ever since. You know, I'm from Florida. I moved up to Jersey, and we were struggling about trying to get video in a studio. I walk out the studio of trying to get TV there, and we debated over it, and finally they did. And the first thing that was on the queue for YouTube was you guys. So me saying that is I appreciate the work that you guys are doing, because then, you know, you could be in a place where you'd be like, okay, I know I'm not lost. I know I'm not crazy. I know I'm not stupid. I know, you know, this loneliness that you feel when other people, your family members are trying to put all those things. That's why I started the thing in that manner, because I do appreciate that, you know, in any manner, in any shape. It don't matter who it is. If I could learn, if I could gain, if there's some type of benefit in any type of level, it could be anything, I am grateful for it. That's you know, by nature as an African, you know, that's where I held my pride, and I'm grateful for y'all talking about the movies. You know, the honor is not there no longer.
Okay. Well, brother, we got to go now. Great points. Thank you, Sam, and you stay plugged in. You've been watching for 6 months. Stay plugged in. I hope you're ready for the ride.
I know, and bro, right. and sir, please, I'm waiting on Elder Gabbar. The last time we spoke, I'm trying to connect, I'm still waiting on. So please, I'm patient.
Okay, well, I'll do again, I'm going to text him your number. One moment here, Sam. Yes, what part of New York? What part of New York?
No, I'm not in New York right now. I'm in Maryland visiting my brother. But
Maryland.
Most likely, yes, I'm here for a while. But I might be heading back up.
Your name is Sam. Okay, hold on.
Correct.
All right, Sam. Elder Gabbar will be calling you to get with the congregation in the DMV. Okay.
All right, no problem, sir. Appreciate it.
My brother.
God bless.
Great call.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes.
Now before I go, brothers and sisters, I just want to give those Patreon members, first of all, I'd like to thank you all for becoming loyal Patreon. It's the same Patreon, Patreon/AGathering144. If you're having difficulty when it comes to the sound for our Patreon, it's because Patreon isn't like YouTube where you can just go there and immediately I'm here before you, visual and sound, with no issue. Because why? I really deal with the consoles from our own desktop here, okay, when it comes to that. Patreon is a lot different. Even though we are doing things from here, you must do something on your side as a Patreon member to actually hear us. You must hit play, and you must unmute the player, okay, to be able to hear. So if you're saying you're having problems on Patreon, it isn't because it isn't working. You have to go there and see it come up and hit, you'll see a line next to the speaker that you have to click to actually hear and see us. You have to hit play and unmute on Patreon. It's different, okay? So I'm just saying that because I don't want y'all to miss it. I'll be going into what some of the doctors are saying out there, the hospitals, and you don't want to miss this, folks. It's crazy. So with that, I'm going to say 1 second here. All right, Sunshine, I'm only going to give you 2 minutes. If you go past 2 minutes, I'm going to have to cut it off, okay, because I need to eat. You better start now.
Okay,
you're on
okay,
the clock.
Okay. Salawana, that's high. Oh. Elder, I just wanted to say that you hit the nail on the head. It's indeed our communities that create
the greatest dangers for those who want more for our nation as a whole than to wallow at the bottom in the bucket of crabs. And the scripture that comes to the forefront is that we trust in oppression and stay thereon. And any movement or shift that is made in effort to change our status quo, even if we are in a squalor at the base of this world's pyramid construct, is met with fierce and brutal or even fatal opposition. So there's nothing new under the sun, and especially nothing new under the sun when it comes to Israel, as seen with the negatives, the Judas betrayals, the compliance threats against Moses, and our people knew that the Most High chose him in meekness in Israel. And then there's the continual scoffing, envyings, and evil eye, like you mentioned, that we have for one another. It's almost like an operation of in this curse of an internal kind of national kamikaze against one another to seek and kill and destroy, and in reprobate spirit take pleasure in creating mischief and watching and enjoying those in our communities that do the same thing. It seems that in the curse that we dwell in a catch-22 conundrum where we know deep down inside that we're meant for greater things and that we should operate better, but we do in the chaos around us, and it's a lie against us and our purpose and righteousness as righteous judges and light unto the world, and that our behavior keeps us as this proverb and subject to the Gentiles, yet we choose every day to show respect and appreciation for all those. We choose every day not to do so. For like Martin Luther King, like you mentioned, and Malcolm X, who attempt to bring positive change to our existence, and neither do we gird up our loins and do things as leaders, taking responsibility for our part, like you mentioned. Instead, we fold into the poverty, violence, and the chaos, and the mental hurtings by media and others, and countless delusions and death, and multiple levels of iniquities, imagined and unimagined, in this terrible way of operating, and we stay in this warm, comfortable blanket, and in majority, we would not let go of this raggedy old blanket and the wicked habits that we have and into a properly clean house, and we just continue on this vein. And this is why it's so clear that by grace of the Most High, that the core that Christ said was love the your neighbor as yourself, love the Most High with all your heart, mind, and soul. It pertains to the Jews first and also to the Gentile, because we, the Jews first, the Israelites, we're the ones that would get close enough to one another, to brother and sister, to falsely accuse and to on a daily basis despitefully use one another. And we, you know, as Moses prayed for those who are against them in the wilderness, we have to pray for our nation, because we would continually curse one another and even especially those chosen to lead in righteousness and sacrifice, you know. And we deeply are affected by the sin of Adam in this way, where we go against our righteous leaders and murmur in complete opposition to our purpose, and the ruler says light unto the world. And I just have to say that bless you, elders, because I am so grateful, like others have said, for your continual sacrifice and for your family. And I pray for the blessings of Abraham onto you and all the elders. And this makes me happy in my soul and in pleasure. And I'm thankful and humbled by it, by grace of the Most High. And
thank
that's
you.
All
bless
I wanted
you.
To say. Hello. Praise the Most High.
Praise the Most High. And may the Most High be with you all. Have a blessed night. And just learn, we all need to learn how to respect and love and honor one another. Why? Because it's something we'll never get back. Just appreciate what the Most High has done, what he's doing in this awakening. With that, I'll see you this Sabbath. I'll see you Patreon members this Friday. This Sabbath, we're going to be going into a great lesson. That's right. Socially rich yet spiritually poor will be our Sabbath lesson. Hope to see you there. We're going to go from 12 noon to 2 p.m. And I hope to see you all in the Hebrew and Bible Academy February the 6th. That's right. Stay prayed up. Sin not. We will soon see Zion. And guess what, folks? Keep in mind, they're lying to you. A higher power. They're lying to you. They are lying to you. Let's go. Keep in mind, again, they're lying to you.